As a business owner, how helpful would it be for you to have employee training and industry resources at your fingertips? That's why Federated Mutual Insurance Company recently launched MyShield, the online client destination for risk management resources. MyShield has resources to help your business with risk management. Already a Federated client? What are you waiting for? Get registered today so you can jump on MyShield through federatedinsurance.com or download the app. If you're not already a client, talk to your Federated marketing rep today. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick, are there any two more hopeless humans when it comes to household chores and things?
Three.
Add me two.
Are you bad? You should have been a sports writer, Declan.
Patrick, so this, I moved into a new apartment this week, and I'll give you a quick story.
Yeah.
Moved into a new apartment out of my two-story building into a six-story building.
Uh-oh.
Just 14 hours of hell. Thankfully, the girl's family helped me, and they were beyond helpful. I am very gracious of them. But I got tasked. He sent me in with a screwdriver into the bedroom closet.
Okay.
Because there's these built-in shelves, you know, where you
sure.
can put your stuff on and whatnot.
Just kind of tighten them up, right?
Well, she needs to get her chest, her dresser, into this closet, and,
yes.
and the shelf is preventing that dresser from being in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she sends me in with a drill and a screwdriver.
Oh, wants you to remove the shelf?
And wants me to remove the shelf.
Yeah.
I go in there.
Oh, no.
Maybe 2 minutes, and I said, honey, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
She then grabs the screwdriver and drill for me and does it in 30 seconds.
The fact that she did that
yes.
should make you pause for a second, because Dawn never would do, she yeah. would go in and do it herself immediately.
Well, as I said on Twitter the other day, I love Bichette, and I love Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
And genes matter. And I'm adopted, and I know one thing for sure. Whoever the genetic old man was, he wasn't a carpenter. I know. Yep, he wasn't a carpenter. That's true. It's funny. I was down, like it was 7 this morning. I was down in the den, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just reading the paper, and somewhere up, you know, this small house, but two levels up, it's unbelievable. It could be a sonic boom. And I immediately rushed upstairs. Katie was awake. I said, "Do you hear that?" She said, "Yes, I heard it." And then it goes, beep.
Oh no!
And then after a while, then after about 10 minutes, it decides to get more annoying, right?
Yeah.
So you don't. Well, you know, I'm a slightly overweight fella at age 76, and there's two of them that are like 4 feet apart, one in the bedroom and one in the hallway.
Oh, no.
But they're at the peak. For some reason, we put them at the peak of the house's frame.
No.
So I said, "You got to go up there and I'll catch you if you come down, you know, but a three step ladder, you know, up there."
Yeah.
And she's not tall. She's just barely reaching the damn thing. But she presses the button in the middle there, and it doesn't beep for a while. And the green light comes back on. And we said, "Oh, okay." And then all of a sudden you get all settled down again, and everything's going beep. So I said, "That's it. I can't take it anymore. I hate them." I thought it was the one downstairs. But then I got down there, the one down in the downstairs bedroom. I removed the battery from that one about 5 years ago because it was annoying me and I couldn't get it off.
Yeah, you're not the only one who's done that.
My problem is, even when I get the battery in there, I can't screw them back in. Why don't they make them so you just screw them right back in? Why do they have to be this fancy Dan connection crap? You know, it's the Electricians Union of America that said, make these as hard as possible for these morons so they have to.
The beeping thing is the worst.
Yeah, oh, it is. It's too terrible. I said, you could have a tornado in Hopkins heading right for your house. I'd take my chances with that over a smoke alarm. I'd rather have that than a smoke alarm.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see that.
I think it'll miss me.
Right.
You know, there's it'll miss me.
Your odds are good.
When the smoke alarm starts, there's nothing you can do about
yep.
it.
Yep. Well, and it's just, like you said, death by a thousand paper cuts.
Yes.
Because it's just the...
And then it starts. And then it starts. But this idea that you got to have one in the bedroom and one in the hallway. What if the bedroom and the hallway are like 4 inches apart? What difference does it make?
That one I don't get.
No, I don't either. I don't know who put these in. But the one, the office, the fireplace, and the bedroom ones upstairs are within 5 feet of each other in three different rooms. And then, I don't know, there's a couple more somewhere down. I think she said there were two downstairs. I only thought there was one. But anyway, that's, somebody, by the time I get home today, I hope to have 10-year lithium.
You're going state of the art.
I am. The 10-year ones. Give me the 10-year ones. And let's go. I'll be happy. God almighty. You know, and the thing about those is it isn't something that's stuck with homeowners. If you're an apartment, if you're renting an apartment, they can start beeping on you too. And it's your problem, right? You got to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they start beeping. They start beeping.
Mm-hmm. Nothing you can do about it. I hate those. How about those twinks? Boy, am I glad I wasn't in Las Vegas this weekend.
Yeah, you would have.
I would have bet.
You couldn't have afforded those lithium.
500. I would have bet 500 on them. You're only making two. If you bet 500, 440, you only would have been making, they were less than, it was 220 to make 100.
Yep.
On Friday night. So let's see. So if I wanted to make 300 on them, hell, I would have had to bet 660, right? 660. And then
I'll take your word for it, but you were very confident on Friday, as was Friday, I, that they would not win any games.
I said bet nine in a row on the other team. And God, they played good Friday. They played really good. They let Chi-Chi dazzle them for three innings. And then after Vlad's 700-foot home run, they didn't get a hit.
No, bullpen was great.
Five guys, none of whom were Duran, give him no hits.
Cotton had that changeup.
Yeah, they were all, I did a Sunday column on a baseball upset and I called TK after the game Friday. And he said, I don't know if you saw it, but he said the best thing that happened to the Twins was Vlad hitting that home run and taking 25 seconds to run around the bases, because the rest of the game, the Blue Jays spent the rest of the game trying to hit it further than he did.
Yes.
And just swinging like idiots. And and then yesterday, I watched five innings and then I drove around for a while. I wanted to see how Perky was doing on the radio and drove around everything was great until Duffy got in there. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now I was—I couldn't believe that he took Duran out, but then it turns out he got hit. One, was it a line driver? Or one hopper?
I don't know for sure, but
it wasn't a straight liner. Was it? It was one hopper? I don't know. Hit him in the knee, so that's why they had to take him out, because they were going. He threw eight pitches because Gladdy said at the end of eighth, the Blue Jays can't wait to get this game over with, because they were just up there making outs quick.
I was
shocked
that Rocco didn't go lift him, because he got hit.
Yeah.
When Duran got
hit.
First
hitter,
right? And they came out and were out there for a while. I thought he ain't got no shot of continuing in this game.
But congratulations to Urshela. He got back in the lineup after only 1 day. 2 days later, that might be a world record. A guy who has a sore instep something,
arch.
Right?
Sprained arch.
Sore arch. Well, it might not be sprained, but it's...
Well, whatever it
it's
is.
Got, it's a sore arch. He got back in there on Sunday. I wonder if he just sneaked... I wonder if he sneaked out and wrote
they
his name
on it. They
have
nobody,
Pat. Yeah, well, that's true.
I think they were so short of guys that they said... We're going to have to play him.
We're going to have to play
him. You got to play him.
Garlic's going on the DL, I guess, it looks like now. So, that guy can't hit lefties. Wow.
Yeah. What, two home runs on Friday? Miranda had two home runs on Friday?
You know, I was thinking of this today. The perfect trade, if he was vaccinated, Kepler to Toronto for that Lourdes Gurriel. Because they have nothing but right-handed hitters, and the Twins could use a right-handed hitter to play one of the corner outfield spots. But I got to think Kirilloff will be here Tuesday now that he would have been in Toronto this weekend. But it's not official, but there's a strong suspicion that he was unvaccinated because why would you bring him to Detroit with the taxi squad and then send him back on Thursday when you're going if he was
and
vaccinated?
He's hitting the ball.
Yeah, all of a sudden he can hit. He can really as a hitter, at least when it comes to swing,
yep.
Kirilloff's on a different planet than Royce Lewis, who we all like, but it's not, you know, I mean, Kirilloff has got a perfect swing because his father started teaching it to him at age 2 1/2, you know, so that would good. But I was thinking today as I drove over here, what are we going to talk about? After some serious Twins bashing about the last 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Well, they lost. Stuff that has surprised us.
Yeah.
In a good way. In a good way, right? You can start behind a plate. Gary Sanchez, much better than we thought, both as a hitter and okay as a catcher.
Yeah, he's not the disaster I thought he was.
No, he's not. He doesn't run back to catch. He doesn't run back to get the ball, and he's been a pretty good hitter, and it's not all strikeout or home run snow, right? He hits the ball to right field once in a while, and
he's got a clue up there.
He'll move some runners, and I think it's going to be interesting because, you know, when he walks out into the clubhouse on Tuesday night, there's going to be 25 people from New York there trying to talk to him, right?
Yeah.
Unless they even do a... You know, maybe a little.
And I think he might extend a finger that will not be polite.
You think so?
Yeah,
I
think he probably hated those people.
Yeah, but I think he seems sharp enough that he'll just.
He's very guarded now.
Yeah.
And I think his experience there as
well. Well, he'll probably just utter some cliches and I enjoyed my time. But he's been a pleasant surprise. Jeffers is a worse hitter than I thought. He's not ready. I mean, he's what, 2 for 31?
He's been awful.
He can't get a hit.
Yep.
They like him as a catcher because he's framing and all that stuff, but they don't really have a. I suppose their theory is, if you send him to St. Paul for 2 weeks and that let somebody else catch, is that going to do him any good? Probably not.
Right.
You know, he just might, you know, not be a big league. You know, he might. After a couple of years, be a guy who can put the ball in play a little more than he does now. But they like him as a... So he's Gary Sanchez. But Gary Sanchez is now your number one catcher, right? Mm-hmm. If you're putting your A lineup out, he's your catcher. So, and then you got Arise, of course, who's amazing. 358, Judd, in today's baseball.
Yeah, I know.
That's 410.
And how much fun is this to watch?
Yes.
His at-bats are tutorials.
Yes, and now they're saying, well, he's only hitting 220 against lefties. Who cares? If it's the eighth inning, and they got a lefty reliever, do you want him at the plate or do you want Contreras at the plate or Celestino at the plate or somebody like that? I want him. He's going to put the bat in the ball.
Absolutely.
And so...
Man, is he fun to watch.
Now, my conversation with Tom Kelly, you know, Tom has a appreciation for first base because he played it. And he was very good at it. He's not real impressed with Louis as a first baseman.
Well, then what does he think about Jose Miranda over there?
He's not on that kid as a defense, as a fielder, that's for sure.
Arise is Mattingly compared to Miranda.
Yes, that's true. But I don't care if it's DH or first base.
So, like, the footwork or what? What doesn't he see?
I don't know what he...
I didn't
have him break it down, but he was, you know... I also don't think he likes the idea of having to throw over there to a 5'10" guy, you know.
Yeah.
He could be a... But, you know, there's a lot of guys you know, they've been talking about playing Gary Sanchez at some at first base. Is that if you're that hard up, you know, arises. I don't see him as a big obstacle to winning games
nope.
by his fielding at first base.
Agreed.
So we got that. And Urshela, the two guys again from the Yankees, I mean, he's a better player than I thought.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a third baseman, and he can hit. He's a good player. That's a surprise. That's mm-hmm. a positive surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Right out.
See, all these positives?
Yeah, we're looking for some. And
I didn't
Nick Gordon the last week has not been the helpless guy that he was, absolutely flailing and awful. But he's also another left-handed hitting outfielder, and you got too many of them already.
Mm-hmm.
I like him once a week, you know, maybe. That's enough.
What's your opinion of what they could potentially, if they shopped him, to go back to your idea, what they could get for Kepler? Because I think they've got corner outfield options that I like more.
Yes.
And Kepler's playing pretty well, and so I think I think you could trade him.
If you're going to move Kepler, now's the time. Because, when you get closer to the trading deadline, all anybody wants is pitching.
Right.
But right now, a left-handed hitting outfielder, you got a lot of them. As I say, hey, call them in and say, if you get two quick vaccination shots, we're going to trade you to the Blue Jays. You can win a pennant, you know. So, because they could absolutely use a, mm-hmm. I don't know who else is hard up for a left-handed hitting outfielder, but that lad would love to play in New York, wouldn't he? Not that they need him, but those fly ball. I saw,
yeah.
I was watching some of the Yankee game the other day, and they were showing the home runs these guys hit. You know, they were showing whatever the hell they are, like when you're watching golf and they have the laser type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 358 to right center, five rows back, six rows back.
Oh, yeah.
It's awful. It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, from what I've seen from Stanton and Judge and some of these fellows, it's they don't need the cheap the cheap ones. They hit them a long way, but Baltimore did this ungodly thing with their left field. But what are they ever going to do in New York? It's a joke. It's a joke.
39-15.
Oh, they're good.
The Yankees.
You know why? Their starting pitching is
fantastic.
They don't give up any runs. They haven't had a Severino's back. This Montgomery's good. You know, Garrett Cole. It's
Tyon.
Yeah, Tyon is two games in a row. He's been perfect for about seven innings.
Mm-hmm.
Came out of nowhere. You know, a lot of this is, you know, some of it's money, but their development has been really good too. Their drafting has been fantastic. They've been done real good signing the Latin guys, and it's both spending money and really bringing in good players. And you know, Chapman's kind of gone in the tank on him, and Zach Britton is coming back from Tommy John.
But they found a closer, right?
But this kid, Howard, is his name.
It's been great.
He throws great. He's like 98 down, hard sinkers, you know. They keep coming up with these guys, and they got all kinds of hard-throwing arms coming out of the bullpen, and this guy's at the finish now. So they're really good. I mean, did I read that's the best record?
Since the Mariners, one-third of the way through the season?
One-third of the way through the
season. Since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle was like a two games, I think, up on where
can't be as good as the Can't be as good as the Tigers of 84.
35-5.
I remember Ernie Harwell listening to a game in the back when you listen to games on the radio, on the clear channel.
WJR, find it.
Find it on the radio. I remember listening to it in our townhouse in Golden Valley to see how they were going, and they won to go 35-5, and Ernie said, Tigers, blah, What a ball club. That was his big. No screaming hollering. He says, what a ball club.
That's 30, all we got? Well, he went up and down at Bally's.
No.
Bally's would be done with him.
35 and 5. That was, and that team won the World Series.
Yeah, that was a fun team.
Mm-hmm.
Morris, Gibson, Trammell, Wright, Whitaker.
Beautiful. Great, great memory of the World Series. We saw a great ball club, and we had a riot.
Watched the town
burn down.
Was that when we started burning cars? Tipping them? For sports?
For sports? Yeah, I think that started for sports. You know, we'd been, you know, 60s, we practiced our rioting. And
well, we still,
got pretty good at it, late 60s.
Were the Mets in 69, was that the first time fans stormed the field? Which became the norm through the 70s.
No, I mean, famously, at the Polo Grounds when Bobby Thompson hit his home run.
They stormed the field.
Oh,
okay.
God, yeah.
So we stormed the field basically until the 90s, maybe?
Yeah, we don't do that. How are they keeping them away?
In Philadelphia, in 80, I remember they brought out horses, like cops on horses, to surround the entire field. I don't know if that kept fans off, though.
86, Shea Stadium, They brought out the horses for game 6. They had them in the bullpen in the 8th inning, the Red Sox bullpen, and because the Red Sox were going to win and they didn't want the fans coming out being unruly or doing, even though it was, you know, there weren't that many Red Sox fans, but there was probably, you know, I guess enough to run out in the field, but that's when Tom Hardricord had the greatest line ever in a press box, because the horses come out and they're standing and they put them in the bullpen and they're out in the visitor's bullpen. And Hardricord says, look, there's more horse bleep in the Boston bullpen than usual, because, you know, their bullpen was terrible and it ended up costing them the World Series. Calvin Giraldi. That was a quip from.
That's good.
That was a great quip. Look, there's more horse bleep out there than usual in the Red Sox bullpen. Not only was it good, but it became predictive.
I was going to say it was prophetic.
It was very prophetic, yes. So this week will tell us how much trouble the Twins are with the fans. What do they need to draw for the Yankees? 28, 30, and 32?
So it's all night games Tuesday through Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, 25 plus for everything.
Well, it's got to be
near 30.
Yeah, if you got to average, they might have one of them that won't be. They're going to tell us, well, there's graduations. They always come up with all these
Yankees,
phony
excuses. It's the Yankees.
Yeah, you got to be damn near 30. Don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Otherwise, I mean, the last home game, Kansas City, they must have been giving something away. 27,000.
It was a Sunday. It was a nice day.
That was by far their second best crowd. Uh-huh. I think they'd only had one beyond that over 22.
I bet these three average between 28 and 30.
Yeah, that's probably
between the team being good and there's probably enough transplanted fans here.
Yeah, and there'll be some Yankee fans will drive in from as good as they're playing.
One of the Jays
as well
here.
As they're playing.
One of the Jays here. That's always fun.
Yeah, the Winnipeg people. Now that they can actually come down here.
Yeah, they come down and drink copious amounts of beer down here. It's great.
I don't know when the Jays are here. I haven't seen that. But next year, that's right. They do get decent. But one problem the Twins have, same problem the Timberwolves have, they got no rivals. Who's a rival? I mean, we play the White Sox and the Twins have been in the same division for the whole time. But there's no big, rich rivalry there. The only good rivalry they ever had was with Oakland in the West from 87 to 92.
The White Sox one was decent for a little while.
Yeah, it was okay.
2000s,
it gets
right?
Okay. Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, 77.
And Pruszynski.
77 was great.
Oh, okay.
The Twins and the White Southside Hitmen, but that was just because both teams were good, you know?
Right.
I said this on Twitter yesterday, too, though. Tiosco Hernandez butchered that fly ball in the sun. He didn't have his sunglasses
on. Glad he went nuts.
Didn't have his sunglasses on, yeah. And then Vlad didn't have his on either. Yep. But 1977, Twins are up by three. They go into they had the White Sox here, you know, June 26th,
yep,
1977. 40,000 people show up. 45,000. They have to delay the game because there's so many drunken youth trying to get in. It was almost like a Kicks game, and that was the 19-12 game, June 26th, with the Whiteys.
Well, yes.
And then we go. Then the Twins are in first place by three games in the West, I believe, and they go into Kaminsky for four in a 3-day period. Mm-hmm. And I think the doubleheader was the doubleheader on Saturday. I don't know. Maybe I can't remember, but it was a scheduled doubleheader. It wasn't a makeup, I don't think. So it's probably Sunday. But the Twins end up getting beat four there.
Mm-hmm.
And Mock tries to win the one of the games with Tommy Johnson, ends up pitching like six and a third or something in relief. Mock's trying to win one of the games. Might have been the end of Tommy Johnson that game, but that's when Disco Danny, in the first game, dropped the ball, didn't have his sunglasses on, ignited a White Sox rally, and it was 4th of July weekend. 4th of July might have been on Monday or something.
It was, yes. Well, yes.
So was the doubleheader Sunday?
It was.
Sunday, okay.
6-10-8.
What was the first game?
They lost 5-2 on Friday, the 1st of July in 77, and then lost 13-8 on Saturday, and then got swept 6-0 and 10-8 on Sunday.
6-0 and 10-8, yep, on Sunday.
So,
well,
29
no,
runs.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm all screwed up.
34 runs against in four
so
games.
So maybe it was Saturday, and it wasn't between games of the
double. Yeah, Johnson pitched on Saturday.
And how long?
And took the loss.
Six innings?
Yes, with Mock. Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Were Twins leading that game?
Let me see here. This is a great thing about baseball. Yes, 2-0 until the bottom of the fourth when the White Sox scored four. And then the Twins countered with three in the fifth to take the lead. And mm-hmm. then the White Sox scored seven in the bottom of the eighth.
Had to be when Disco Danny.
They were down 8-6.
So that was Saturday. I always thought that was the first game Sunday. But, okay, it was on Saturday that Disco doesn't have his glasses on. And the Twins are trying to hang on and win one and pitch Tommy Johnson into the ground. And he hits a fly ball out there, and Mock was unbelievable. He was almost as bad at Danny as he was when he didn't score from third before Jose Morales scored from second.
When he just left?
Yeah. Said, told him to leave. And then Mock left too. But but he dropped the ball and didn't have sunglasses. Next time I should ask him if he's got his jock strap on. You know, he was.
How do you forget sunglasses in a day game?
Shut it, Kaminsky.
Yeah.
And by the way, that series packed that place for 3 days. You know,
that ballpark must have been great.
Oh, I love that.
I never saw a game there.
That was my favorite ballpark.
Game.
You were right on top of it. I liked it better than Tiger Stadium because you were right on top of it. The upper deck was fantastic.
It looked like a great old place.
You had Nancy Faust playing the organ, and they were all drunk and all crazy, and they, you know, a doubleheader there. Man, it was great. And great Italian sausages. Right when you got on the big stand down there, right next to, but the grill was right out in front of you.
Oh,
you
God, know, that'd
the
be great.
Grill was out in front of you, and they had the old Polish ladies throwing the stuff on there, and you right before you went upstairs, you know, to take the elevator upstairs. It was my favorite ballpark. I love that place when it was rocking.
Yeah,
you know, I told you the Bill Veeck story. It might have been that weekend. There always were fights, and there was a fight in front of the press box, and Veeck is going to go seize it and going to go break it up. Next thing you see is this peg leg straight up in the air. Somebody pulled him down and started beating the crap out of
the owner of the team.
The owner of the team. the disabled owner of the team with the peg leg. He throws him down there. They're beating the crap out of him. And then there's people trying to pull Bill out there. I thought they were going to pull his leg off.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God.
It was unbelievable.
No, I'd forgotten that.
Oh, God, yeah. It was crazy. It was quite the summer that year, because he went out and signed all these guys knowing, you know, it was the first year of free agency and they were all walking.
You couldn't keep them.
Richie Zisk, Oscar Gamble. I can't remember who else was a short termer, but he brought in three or four pitchers and they were just like the Twins. They couldn't pitch, but they could hit, man. They had some brawls that year. Who ended up, but did Oakland probably ended up winning the division? Who won the division? Kansas City, I bet.
Yeah, yep.
Kansas City ended up running both those teams down, but they were, middle of the summer, they were both, they were fighting for the division.
Yes, Kansas City won it by 8 games. It was the Royals, the Rangers at 8 back, the White Sox at 12 back, the Twins finished 17.5 back, and the Angels were 28 back.
The greatest moments of my sports writing career. Disco Danny not scoring from third before Jose Morales scores from second, backing up and then forgetting to step on home plate, waving Jose in. But another one is Cliff Keen, the Boston Globe sports writer, you know, covered the Red Sox, would say anything to anybody. He'd come over to Tony and said, you know, what'd they do, operate on you with a hatchet, you know, and stuff like that. You know, I mean, he was unbelievable. And Killebrew, he'd say, Harmon, take your hat off. Damn, you're bald, you know, and stuff.
Really?
And oh, yeah, he'd just abuse everybody. But he was, hell, by the time I knew him, he was in his 60s. So Mock, when he was there as a player in the 50s, Cliff was around. And the Twins go to Winter Haven for the first time that year, an exhibition game. And they got crew and nobody else. Everybody else is gone, you know. Heisel's gone. Bostock's gone. Endless, I think 13 free agents.
Yep.
You know, Tom Bergmeier, you know, Soupy had left a year earlier. You know, they're all gone. Everybody's gone. And Mock and I are standing outside the dugout there, and the Twins are getting ready to start batting practice. And Mock says, oh, bleep, here comes Cliff. Cliff comes walking over and says, Mock, what happened to your team? What happened to your team, Mock? Who the bleep are these guys, Mock? And then Crew's there, and he says, Crew, who are these guys, Crew? Where'd these guys all come from? It's unbelievable. And Mock's sitting there smoking cigarettes, shaking his head, because nobody ever, I don't know if anybody ever punched Cliff. But
by that age, probably not.
No. Who are these guys? It was great. He was unbelievable. And, you know, nobody, you know, it would have been great to, you know, I love Mock. I love talking baseball with him more than anybody I ever lived with. I mean, covered, but it was fun to see him when he was agitated, because he did not take it well. But Cliff's also the guy that when they had Shriners Day there and the press box used to sit below, and he comes out, looks out, and says, get these bleeping Protestants off the field and let's start the ball game. You know, he was an Irish Catholic. Get them off. Get these Protestants off the field. Yeah, you had to have a little. See, that's why once in a while my press box decorum isn't what it should be, having grown up with these guys, you know.
Exactly. That explains a lot.
Yes, that's true. Anyway, hey, fun week. They're home and they're still first and nobody's chasing them.
Yeah.
Isn't that great when nobody's chasing you?
No, it's not, but it's nice for them.
Yeah.
I'd much prefer there's be one team.
So is Reinsdorf going to pull the plug on his buddy Tony?
I don't know if he will or not. He should, but I don't know if he will or not.
The guy who's got to be gone is Madden.
What the hell is going on?
11 in a row. Yesterday, they're ahead 6-2 in the bottom of the eighth.
Yeah.
And I was listening on MLB Network, and Harper's up against this Iglesias, who's their closer. But yeah. I think he's right-handed. They take out a lefty and bring him in. And they get to 3-2, and he fouls a couple off, and they throw him a changeup, and he hits a grand slam to tie it.
Uh-huh.
Then they score again in the seventh, ninth, top of the ninth to go ahead.
Yep.
7-6, and then some guy I know stole, I don't even know who it is, hit a three-run homer in the bottom of the ninth. So they lose again, 11 in a row. Everybody was talking about how good they were. They were, you know, Ohtani. How is this possible?
I don't know.
But they're...
Trout and Ohtani? I have no idea.
Trout is like in a huge slump. He's 0 for 31 or 30 or something like that. But, he's in a huge slump. But Joe's got to go, doesn't he?
There's a lot of teams, though, right now that are disappointing. The Mariners, the Angels,
The Mariners,
the White Sox.
The Mariners had the town all excited. They made the trade with the Reds. And, turned out the Reds were right. One of those guys is hitting about 190, you know?
Yes.
Suarez, you know?
Yeah, that Ty France is good, but they are a big-time bust right now.
Yeah, there are.
Joe might be gone. How long are the Cubs going to put up with Ross? I think they just gave him an extension.
They gave him an extension. Probably will.
I was surprised. I don't think he's that good.
Oh, God, no. I don't like him. And he's like, arrogant. He's arrogant as hell, too.
Yes.
He's, I don't know what the appeal was. I really don't. They hired him out of the broadcast booth, and I don't know what.
Speaking of, our guy Perk needs more airtime somewhere.
Yes, he does. He's good.
I thought he was fantastic.
You know, I listened yesterday, and there were. He let one guy make it out, virtually the whole at bat, because there was nothing terribly interesting about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't feel obliged to have to comment on every pitch. Mm-hmm. And then he said something, but it was pretty good.
Yep.
Now, once in a while, he'll really want to make a point. He'll get rambling a little on it, but he's much better than normal.
He told me things I didn't think about.
Yes.
Which is what I like.
Yes, I do.
Tell me things I don't know.
Yes. He and Gladdy should be analysts one place or the other, right?
Yeah. That'd be ideal, yeah.
I think Gladdy would be great in the TV booth.
Yep.
But you might have to shake things up a little bit if you
were. Well, you
could
just tell Dick, hey, Dick, only talk when you throw it to commercial. And if you really think, I think that if you put Perk and Gladdy on TV and let them talk about the game.
Yes.
Because I don't need you to tell me that's a ground ball to short.
No, I mean, as good a combo as there ever was Kuiper and
Krukow.
Krukow in San Francisco. Kuiper's having bad health problems, right?
Yep. But no, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
But that's what I want.
I mean,
just have a conversation.
TV, you don't need a play-by-play guy. You need two of them. Smalley'd be great, too, in there with, what you could give the mic to Smalley to be the mic guy and then have anybody.
If you want to do it,
I don't know. Is it a good idea to change as often as they do? Change their TV guys? I guess they just decided to go that route.
Yeah, but I thought they would try and find something a little more consistent. I think Justin, I think they love him, but he won't do a bunch of games.
Well, he's got brood of kids. Yeah, he's all playing games.
And he's got a farm or something, right?
Some
acres.
I'm sure his kids are getting to the age now where they're all playing, having... having two suburban grandkids, with two, it's a full-time job. I can imagine if you got three or four of them trying to play various games, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure he coaches them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
at least somewhat.
He's the hardcore family man.
Yeah, he strikes me as a coaching type of guy. But anyway, Perk belongs somewhere. I knew he'd be good. I didn't know off the bat he'd be this good.
I got Mrs. Ricey to do something Saturday night. I don't know if we could get Dawn to do or not. Go to the fights. She went to the fights with me.
Really?
Yes. Now we had dinner downtown, so we only got there for the car started at 5. We got there at 7:30 or something, and then they there was only 3 fights left, and they were gonna play the 2 main ones weren't going to start till 9. So you hung around for like a half hour. And then they were going to have, they were replaying, they were showing a replay, Showtime, of their six-inning bout that they had in Brooklyn. That's what they came on with, because this Gervonta Davis is a big deal in boxing now.
Okay.
So they were going to, that was pay-per-view, so they're going to show it free, right?
Yep.
And then start the card in Minneapolis. So there was that hour inside in the arena where there was nothing live going on, but they had one fight to throw in there, right? And it was two guys who were supposed to be pretty good. First round knockout. First hour, in fact, a minute and 21 seconds, the first round. So now you got nothing.
Oh, man.
You got nothing for a whole hour, although drinks were served.
I was going to say, I'm sure
the 60, the twin 60-yard bars, drinks were served. But, yeah, that was kind of, but then the David Morrell, the Cuban kid, looked, you know, he beat his guy, and you know, you kind of thought he was gonna. But then the two little guys, that was a pretty good fight, Fulton and Romaine. But
she didn't get bored.
It was she was a little bored, but it was a little loud for her too. And because there was a woman next to her, says we were sitting in a little seat, but then there was like this staircase there where everybody was there, and she was a David Morrell fan,
mm-hmm.
and she'd had a few drinks, and she screamed, "Knock him the bleep out!" at least 100 times in 4 rounds at the top of her lungs. Right,
and your wife restrained herself from saying, was, "Shut the bleep up."
My wife was about 4 feet away from her when she was shouting that, and pretty soon I saw this, that she was pressing the forehead.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
She had the headache. She had the headache. But she did have one great line. When we first came in, we were kind of in the back waiting for a fight to end before we walked up to our seats. And they had a couple of 115-pounders or something fighting. She says, "Is this little boys fighting? I thought we were going to real boxing." She said, "Those look like little boys fighting up there."
115, yeah.
115. I said, "Well, they're good." I said, "The main event's only 122, but I said, they aren't little boys when they start hitting each other."
Those cards have done well, though, right?
Oh, that one was their biggest crowd yet. They
good for them.
They were pushing.
I thought that sport was dead about.
Yeah, it's well, it's, you know, it's lost a lot of ground to the MAA, but it's they're getting, you know, they're doing it about 4 times a year, which is the right thing to do. Kind of develop a mailing crowd list.
It's a perfect place, right? Show up.
Yeah, it's perfect size. Yeah,
that's the other thing they've got.
And as you know, people they like this. There's more people standing. Just, it's like a baseball game. There's a lot of more people standing than going to their seats, you know, in a lot of places. So it's, you know, it's, and considering it's a boxing crowd, which is a little feisty, it's not hard to go, because you got to do a lot of pushing to get from one side to the other, but you don't want to push.
No.
You want to say, "Excuse me, could I get
sir,
through?
Ma'am?
Could I get through here, sir, please?
Don't beat me up.
Young lady, don't, you know, wait for the nod that it's okay to go through."
And then I've been there.
And you're fine to go around, go through, but it's I'm glad to see it. It's, you know, Robbie Lear is the PR guy, and he's doing okay. You know, he's got a little PR firm. A lot of us didn't think PR might be Robbie's cup of tea.
I'm as surprised as you are.
A lot of writer report. You got to love him.
A lot of former coaches might not have either.
You got to love him, though, because he might have driven our old buddy Sid crazier than anybody, because he wouldn't wait to let Sid ask the first question.
Mahoney couldn't stand him when he was North Star coach.
Oh, really?
Young man, get out of my office.
Oh, is that
Rob Lear just went right at us. Young man, get out of my office. And they filmed it and showed it. It was great.
Oh, really?
He's as close to Jim Gray, TV-wise, as we've ever gotten here.
Yeah, he'd ask whatever question he felt should be asked.
Yeah, he'd ask.
He asked.
Yeah,
and it didn't
for him.
Care. Yeah, right. Who was I...
But you're right. PR was not what I thought.
No, no, no. But he's, you know, he's in with, that's a good crowd for him to be in with, too. Mm-hmm. So
he's done a good job.
Louis DeCubas Jr., who's kind of the head of Warrior Boxing. He brought the Cuban kid here. He's had a lot. He's tied in with Premier Boxing Champions, which sets the cards. And he's a, his dad, a big buddy of Tony's, and he's a, grew up with Tony, even though he lives in Miami now. But he was, his dad was kind of the manager for Roberto Duran, and his dad was boxing for a lot of years, and big buddy at Tony's. And this Morrell kid has hung out over at Tony's, going out and have dinner and stuff. Tony was there in the second row, but he was at Brooklyn last week, or now 10 days ago. For that, they had 18,000 in the Barclays Center for that. He said it was the roughest crowd he has ever seen at boxing.
And they had a shooting outside of it that they thought was inside and caused a mass panic, too.
Mm-hmm. But only one outside, which apparently was a low number by Louis said it was the.
Really?
Madonna was there with her.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
With her, whoever her friend was. And when she got to her good seats, you know, because what they do is they say ringside seats are 5,000 and they give them to celebrities and write them off the, you know, it's a write off or 10,000. They used to say it's ringside at Vegas, 10,000. Well, no, it isn't, because that's what they put the price there, and then they put celebrities in there and for free and ended up writing it off as a business expense off the top. But Madonna and her companion got to the seat, and there were two guys there, and they wouldn't move. And security came over and asked them to move, and they wouldn't move. They had to get the cops and get these two guys and drag them out of the building, basically, because they wouldn't even get out of their seats for Madonna, for God's sake.
Where's the respect?
That's right. Madonna going to the fights in Brooklyn, that should be a big deal, right? So what's your observation of the hockey? Do my Rangers, are they in trouble now after blowing that 2-0 lead, or can they still beat them?
I don't think they're in trouble yet. I really like them, though. Man, they're fast. They're fun to watch.
What happened?
They got the goaltender.
Were they that good during the middle of the season?
Solid, yeah. But, I mean, they've got speed. They're young.
How's the kid from Wyzetta?
Miller.
Miller.
He's great.
You like him?
He's fantastic. Yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
He is a really good player.
Is it Cavante? What is it? Cavante?
Keandre, I think it is.
Keandre.
Yeah. Miller. Yeah, he is really good. He played for
He was a first rounder, right? Was it Minnetonka?
Yeah. I think he transferred
there somewhere.
Yeah. But no, he's a really good player.
He played at Wisconsin for a year.
Yes, he did.
For a year.
But they have rebuilt that team. It is a really fun team now.
Who's running it now?
What's his name? Chris Drury is.
Oh, really?
So they fired their GM and president in some type of weird deal last year, which everyone thought was a death knell. And they promoted Drury from assistant, and then they fired Quinn as head coach. And Gallant's been great.
Yeah,
Gallant's the type of guy who
Quinn was a college guy.
Yeah, right? College guy, and Gallant's been fantastic. And so, yeah, they're a fun team.
How many
team to
jobs
watch.
Has he had now? About four?
Well, he started with the Panthers, got fired in Carolina, and was forced to catch
a
cab.
Did he win the cup at Carolina? Was he the guy who won the cup?
No. He got fired after a game against the Canes in Carolina.
Okay.
He's a Panthers coach.
And
that's the
Florida.
Famous shot of him and his, and he's waiting on a cab with his suitcases right by him. So then the Golden Knights. He was first coach, took them to the Stanley Cup Finals. They obviously didn't win. Then he got fired, a year and a half ago now? And the Rangers hired him after they fired Quinn. I think that was after last year.
Wow.
So he's on job three. He's good, though.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know what he does that grates on people, but he's definitely going to be outside.
The analyst on TV is still Joe Micheletti, right?
No, he's doing radio.
I mean, radio.
Yes.
Yeah, radio.
Yeah.
Joe.
Joe's still around.
We used to get Joe on
Joe's
show once in a while. Joe's great.
Joe's fantastic.
Great. Yep. And he is Modano's father-in-law, right?
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Mike's second wife is his Allison. Daughter. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I did a column on her before she,
golfer, right?
Before she was on that ESPN show of,
that's right.
What do they call them? You know, that show where you've got people trying to make it, some of them celebrities and yep. whatever it was. She was on that show. And the they had one for men and one for women. And the one for women, those young ladies had a tendency to be reasonably attractive, including Allison.
They skewed attractive.
And yes, they did, including Allison. So, yeah. By the way, her Madonna was kept making up for lost time with babies, right? They got a batch. I think they got three or four of them. Yeah, so
I mean, it's entirely possible.
Yeah,
good bloodlines there.
Yes, well, yeah, it could be.
Those kids will be drafted at some point.
If they aren't good hockey players, it's not mom and dad.
You talk about the genes.
Yeah, it's not mom and dad's fault. It's like Johnny Pohl and Chrissy Wendell. When are we going to see the progeny? You know,
it's a good question.
My granddaughter played with a Pohl girl, not one of Johnny and Chris's, but the brothers.
Okay,
pretty good player.
Yeah, because his brother played for the Gophers too, right?
Yeah,
Johnny's brother.
Yeah,
didn't he play after?
Is it Mark? Right.
I can look it up. Yeah,
I met him a couple of times this year. He did wonders with that team, and his daughter's going to be a. You're going to hear about her when she's playing for Woodbury, I'm sure, or East Ridge, one or the other.
I was looking up Johnny Pohl's brother to see if I could Mark find Pohl. It. Quit. Mark Pohl, you think it is okay?
Mark Pohl,
that's very possible.
It is Mark Pohl.
Yes, younger brother Mark.
Yes. Did he get in the? Where did he? What's hockey daddy database say about him?
Let me see here, Mark Pohl, because his brother had a cup of coffee. Johnny played with the Leafs. I saw him play with the Leafs.
Yeah.
I don't see anything from the hockey database. Oh,
hockey debate. Well, he was he did play something. He did play college hockey, I know. So.
Yes. Yep. He played for the Gophers. All right. What else you got for us?
What else we got? Let's see. Have we covered
Hey, NBA, what's up with the
NBA final? NBA finals, just like the the first game was close until the last 2 minutes. It's been weird. A lot of fairly long series, but every game's 25 points. I don't get it. Do you?
My sports got it, my man.
Oh, I know.
We've got the formula.
Well, it's hard to get, you know, it's hard to lose by 20 in hockey.
Yes, it is. That's a good thing, though.
That is good. Except, you know, for some of us, you just can't wait that long to see somebody score.
You know,
for some of them, you just.
Patience is a you thing.
Somebody you just kind of, yeah, I'm not real good at. Some of these you just have to kind of tune it up and tune in and see what's happening.
What's up with the baseball?
What?
I feel like starting last week, it felt like the home runs started
yes.
to become far more prolific.
Yes.
I don't think that's an accident.
I know.
I think something's
either.
Going on.
I think
it's 5 on Friday, Pat.
I know. And there was the Saints. I don't know what bad ball they're using.
Yeah, good point.
They had 8 yesterday. Now, that's in Iowa. This place is a bandbox, St. Paul. But yeah. I think I have the same suspicion that we might not be all the way back, but the Nerf ball is gone, mm-hmm. right? You know,
absolutely.
They're unbelievable.
That ball was jumping out of Toronto.
Oh, I know. They're the most overreactive people in the history of man, though.
Well, why can't they find something in between?
Well, maybe that's what they're hitting. Though.
Like if 2019 offended your senses,
yes.
But you don't have to go to a dead ball.
No, but it's jumping again. You're right. Also, they get this supply of a million baseballs. So what do they? They wait and say, okay, throw that other million away. We got some new ones now. I don't know. They throw out every baseball that ever, you know, if it touches the ground, it's gone. But you're right. I wonder if they said, okay, make these new ones and we'll see how it goes. And if we don't like it, we still got our supply of the former ones. So
maybe.
It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
But they're changing them
on
the fly, and there's no question about it.
Although that one Vlad hit, on Friday might have killed somebody if it had landed, if it had been the wrong place. Man, was that ball smoked.
Yeah, Vlad's fun to watch.
Yeah, but in the eighth inning yesterday, he hits a chopper and stands at home plate.
Oh, yeah, they got some.
That could have offended the sensibilities of manager Kelly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some guys who want us. You know what? They don't hit as well as they should, especially when they get a – I thought Smeltzer would get murdered. A left-hander is trying to start against that lineup, and he gave up two home runs, but he got him out.
Yep, exactly.
I can't complain about him hooking. I had people complaining that they hooked Smeltzer too early. I want right-handers against that team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't
– How about, the, times duff- bugs me that how about the Duffster, though? What the hell is that? It's terrible. Well, you know how afraid they were of him hanging a curveball. When they go and let Moran finish the game against George, they let Moran face George Springer instead of him.
Yeah, the guy who's not on the roster technically.
They're afraid he's going to spin one up there and somebody's going to, you know, George Springer's going to win the game.
I think the Duffster and the Bundyster might be best served elsewhere.
Yes.
I think the Bundy thing was a lot of fun while it lasted.
It was. And he might... You know, I you got to have five though. You got to have five starters. So I don't know where they're going to get a couple of. You know who's been a big disappointment to is that Jordan Bolasevic at St. Paul was supposed to be on the way. He's healthy again now. He's been terrible. So I don't know who's next. Winder, if he gets healthy, there'll be a starter.
Might have to eventually trade for one if you want to compete.
Yeah.
I mean, past the American League Central.
That's true. Who was I thinking that I saw the other day that they could use that's not great, but he's pretty good? I can't remember. What the hell? Anyhow.
All right.
See, Sanchez, good surprise.
Yep.
Arise, great.
Yep.
Polanco, still great.
Yep.
Urshel, much better than we thought.
Yep.
Celestino, serviceable as the backup to
you know what?
Buxton.
Bally Sports is going to call you soon. If you keep this up, you're going to be the in-studio analyst.
I don't know.
Bringing the positive spin.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Yes. You know what?
Audra.
You know what, Audra? I really thought they were going to get the crap kicked out of them this weekend, but they didn't.
Can you believe they didn't get the bleep kicked out of them, Audra?
Man alive, how did this happen? They were so god-awful in Detroit, Audra. What's your...
What do you think of this piece of crap team?
Back to you, Katie.
All right. 82 might win the division, though.
So. You're right about that.
That's right.
All right, talk to you.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.